So I've had my first and probably last Christmas party of the year today.
Gosh, that's a bit early in the... Yeah. It's December though, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah.
I can't believe that.
You see, in my book, Christmas is on the 25th of December.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It was last time I checked, yeah.
Yeah, not 25th of August as it is in Waitrose or
yep.
You know, whatever else. And not even the 2nd of December as it is today as we record this. But we had a Christmas party or Christmas barbecue at Parsonage Down at the Nature Reserve today. And it was lovely, actually. Really, really good. We had a barbecue, you know, because everybody, quite rightly, is concerned again about, you know, exposure to COVID.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's not, we weren't doing it just because of that, but, you know, it was especially sort of, important or relevant today, I suppose. So we had a barbecue in a copse that we'd been clearing for about a month or so, and Longhorn burgers, so... English Longhorn reared on the reserve.
Can't I was going to say, were they yours?
Yeah, well...
it wasn't Sirloin the Bull, was it?
No, Sirloin was still in a barn. We did pay our respects to him as we left. But, I'm sure I recognise Daisy's back leg there somewhere. But the burgers were absolutely delicious. Blimmin' heck, was it cold? Was it clear blue skies and a north wind, and it's really exposed, as you know, up there, and even in this little copse. But so we're all huddled around the fire. We're trying to keep our distance at the same time, but trying to get some warmth. But it was lovely.
Very good.
Sure I'll be going to any more this year.
I think I got one booked on the 16th of December in Salisbury.
Oh, right.
For Wessex Museums. But a lot could happen between now and the 16th, so who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? So welcome to another Hidden Wiltshire podcast, where we talk about, well, try to talk about things in Wiltshire that are relatively hidden, but we do warble on a bit sometimes, I must confess. We are now up to 25 of these warbling sessions.
Quarter of a century. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, I know. And when we started, I think, was it one of your friends that said he thought it might be a bit rubbish and it'd sound like two old blokes talking over the garden fence?
And he was right.
Here we are. And people are still listening, and we'll talk about that maybe on the next podcast. But my name is Glyn Coy. I am the face behind the Hidden Wiltshire Project. And with me, as usual, I have my podcasting buddy.
Paul Timlett. I had to think about that, didn't I?
You always do.
Yes.
I hand over to you and your brain sort of blank. Goes into like, what's my name again?
rabbit caught in the headlights. It's 25. But yeah, before we sort of launch in, I just sort of picking up the theme I was talking about just now and the natures of the barbecue. Was, you know, obviously lunchtime, early afternoon, but we'd spent the morning having a tour of the Hen Harrier project up at Parsonage Down, which has been sort of struggling to get off the ground. It hasn't got off the ground for very good reason, politics and COVID and all the rest of it. But you know, the idea being to reintroduce nesting hen harriers into the south of England, and there's a sort of project team of three people up there, and they sort of tucked away in part of the reserve, and it's all fenced off with electric fencing and all the rest of it. But it's a great big field where it's been prepared for hen harriers when they finally arrive, and the electric fence is to keep predators out, because hen harriers are ground nesting birds. And anyway, they. The team took us up there to sort of give us a talk about what they're doing and the plans for the future, which is really, really interesting. And had a sort of big sort of tour around the field and the aviaries and the facilities they've got up there. And you know, I said earlier on it was cold. It was even colder out there because you're on the sort of side of a hill or just a gentle slope, and the wind just whistles across the plains there. And it wasn't a strong wind today, but bear in mind how cold it was. And I had four or five layers on and was absolutely frozen. I mean, we're recording this this evening at 7 o'clock on a Thursday evening, which is unusual for us. I've been home for 3 hours and I've only just started to thaw out. It was that cold.
Oh, yeah, it's that type of cold that you get when it chills you to the bone. I remember camping in April one time and got so cold the next day, it took me about 8 hours to warm up again.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And to cap it off, I'm there all day again tomorrow, learning to drive tractors. First day one of a two-day course.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
But one of the things that the team said is they're quite keen to have small groups go up to the reserve and see the projects. And they do, you know, very good talks. And they kind of sort of pitch it at not sort of individuals, because they don't really have time to show lots of individuals around, but to have something. I mean, they approached the Shrewton Parish Council and I think Winterbourne Stoke Parish Councils, because the reserve sits kind of on the border of the two villages. So to sort of trying to pitch it at that level, I suggested sort of Women's Institute, that sort of thing. But they're also quite interested in, you know, educational visits, so schools. So if anybody's interested in doing that, you know, having a group of people up to the reserve and have a talk from the team and explain what they do, and it's really fascinating. We've got one of the people on the team was a gamekeeper for 40 years, so you know, the original, well, almost like a sort of poacher turned gamekeeper, but he was a gamekeeper, and part of the problem that hen harriers have in terms of the scarcity is that they have been you know, persecuted, especially on things like grouse moors. But you know, that's a fact, there's no disputing that. You know, they have been persecuted. So he ran shoots for years, and he didn't persecute them, and a lot of gamekeepers do a lot of great conservation work, as did Simon. But he, you know, understands where gamekeepers and shoots come from. So, you know, but he's a really fascinating guy. His knowledge is just unbelievable. I mean, standing there sort of on the reserve, and you know, there's these birds in the distance, and you just see him sort of, his eye goes off to the distance. He said, "Oh, look, there's a, you know, such and such." But yeah, fascinating guy. And one of the sort of the scientists, Robin, I mean, she's, you know, very, very hugely knowledgeable, and it's just a great morning out. So yeah, if anybody's interested, you know, contact us through the Facebook or through the website, and you know, that's something that can be fixed up.
Yeah, maybe one day we could get a Hidden Wiltshire Day out up that way.
Yeah, I keep meaning to do that, and you know, it's the sort of thing we probably could have done today, just sort of switch the mics on and listen. But they, you know, they are not just the Hen Harrier team who do, they're all Natural England employees, but they tend to sort of, they're kind of separate group, and then you've got the rest of the reserve and farm staff.
Yeah.
And at the moment they are really short staffed, and they're incredibly busy. So yeah, we will do it, or we'll get up there. It's just getting the timing right. And I think they've got some more got some apprentices coming next year.
Yeah.
So once they're sort of trained up, they'll have a bit more time.
Sounds good.
Yep.
And I guess the other big news that we have for our wonderful listeners is we have a book. The second Hidden Wiltshire book has now been printed and is in our hands. And we're taking orders for it. And we've had quite a few already, actually.
Yeah, it's doing well.
It's doing really well. So
after what? So it's been on the website for about two, three days?
Yeah, I think it was on Tuesday I put it up, so Monday or Tuesday, but yeah, 2 or 3 days. So yeah, quite a few people have already put their pre-orders in, and the goal obviously is for those of you that are able to order it this side of Christmas is that we get it to you. But the earlier you could get it, that order in, the better, I think, in terms of making sure it gets there before Santa comes down the chimney. So yeah.
And you've sent, what was it, three to Canada?
Yeah, I've had a lady from Canada asked for three copies of it. Yeah.
And I had somebody from South Carolina,
an old
client of mine. He's contacted me through LinkedIn and said, how do I get a book and how much would it cost to ship it to South Carolina?
There you go. Yeah, actually, we do have, and again, we'll talk about this on the next podcast, but we do actually have quite an international audience.
Yeah.
In fact, speaking of that and speaking of books, there's a lady that follows the podcast who lives in Arizona, and I think she's originally from Wiltshire. And I know that she listens to this podcast, so if she knows exactly who she is. But she told me that her mother, I think, still lives in Melksham and is quite elderly, and she wanted to get hold of the first book that I produced a couple of years ago because this lady was, you know, telling her mother about these great photos of Wiltshire that were coming up on Instagram in my feed. So I think that her mother was a bit, well, not too good at using the internet and stuff like that, so I wasn't comfortable ordering things online. But in the end, we managed to she managed to get to Melksham Library. At the time, I'd got the book into Wiltshire Libraries, and she was able to reserve it through Wiltshire Library and get a copy that way. So take it home with her and read it. So that was a funny connection from Arizona back to Melksham and the rest of it. And there have been a few nice little stories like that. I mean, you've had some interesting contact recently, haven't you?
Yeah, so you and I have been sort of... sharing this news with you during the course of a few days, but just a massive shout out to a lady called she wants me to use her maiden name, so which she's about to revert to for reasons I know not, but she's I said, look, we were going to do this, and she said, well, can you use my maiden name? But it's called Sarah Lucas, and Sarah lived in Wiltshire up to about 30 years ago. And she now lives in Scotland, sort of west, just sort of south of Glasgow and over towards the west in Ayrshire. And she emailed me through my own website and just completely out of the blue and just said how, you know, how much she loves the podcast, and it brings back sort of fond memories of her days in Wiltshire. And you know, she's sort of gradually working her way through the episodes and particularly sort of focusing on the places that she knows. And she said, look, you know, as a thank you, I'd like to do your family tree. So I thought, wow, that's incredible. Now, one of my uncles spent about 30 years trying to put together the Timlet family tree. And of course, before the days of internet, and you know, he achieved an awful lot considering there was no such thing as the internet. And I have this somewhere, this massive, great A1 piece of paper rolled up, and it's all handwritten, this sort of Frank's spidery handwriting, this great family tree. And Sarah achieved the same and more in the space of 3 days with the internet. and of course, she knows how to put these things together. So she's produced a family tree for me, which also goes into my mum's side, because I said that, you know, I was fairly certain that my mum's family going back were Irish. And, you know, she has confirmed that. What she's also confirmed is that we're Irish on my dad's side as well, through his mother. But she also puts together these, everybody's probably heard of Ancestry, which is this sort of, there's an Ancestry tool, and for a fee you can sort of put all your, start to put details in, and they sort of access all sorts of databases. And she's put together an Ancestry book for me as well. But the other night, she'd never heard of WeTransfer, because she wanted to send me some documents. So I said, well, you know, use this. And I then get this notification from WeTransfer saying there was 83 documents in this link.
So, yeah.
And there was, you know, scans of, I don't know, birth certificates, death certificates, census records, military service records. I mean, it just went on and on. It's great. I mean, it's incredible what's in there. But Sarah, I said to Sarah, well, you know, I've got to pay you for this. And she said, no, I wouldn't have offered if I expected payment. I just wanted to say thank you for what you and Glyn do. But I said, well, look, you know, do you want me to sort of promote what you do? And she, at the moment, she's not doing it professionally, although she did say that she's done hundreds of these things.
Yeah.
And actually, it did make me smile. She said, if your name had been Smith, I probably wouldn't have offered. But because you've got such an unusual surname, then I was really intrigued. But she said she spent a lot of time, a lot of the family trees are Ayrshire coal miners, which is kind of that direction where she lives. So she doesn't do it professionally, but I think she will take sort of commissions. I think she plans to do it to earn money at some point. So again, if anybody's interested, I can sort of contact Sarah and see if she can help. But she's going to contact you because, you know, it's a two-man podcast, and she would like to do yours if you would like her to do it. So
it'd be interesting to chat to her. I mean, because we've got quite a lot of our family tree been done, because my mum's been doing it for years, and she uses the Ancestry website, and there's a lot of stuff loaded up there. But it was quite interesting because it shows that my coy forefather landed in Liverpool in the early 1800s as a travelling stonemason from Lincolnshire. And virtually all the coys that are left in Liverpool are related to this individual. So there's been quite a lot of branches off him since then. But yeah, it's fascinating. And then the thing is, when we did our family tree, my mum, she said on the coy side, she got stuck at 1792 because that gentleman that came to Liverpool, she can't find anything beyond behind his birth, so his family behind him. So she has a suspicion that his family may have emigrated from Ireland, and that's why the trail's gone cold in England.
Well, there is that, but I think there's one person who listens to this podcast who probably can answer this question. That's Alice Cambry. And Alice is pretty active on the Facebook group as well, but she does a lot of this sort of digging into history. It's not a job, but I think at that period, because the Sarah got back to early 1700s, I think.
Yeah.
But I've got a feeling sort of things like parish records and birth certificates only started in that part of the 18th century.
Yeah.
So beyond that, it gets very difficult to find out anything.
We've been able to go further back on my mum's side because she's plugged in. She eventually plugged into a quite well-known family, the Wedgwoods, who were responsible for the pottery and stuff. It links back to Charles Darwin. So I've got Charles Darwin in my family tree.
No way.
Yeah. So a smidgen of my DNA is Darwin. So it's quite amusing. It's interesting.
I can make all sorts of jokes about Darwinism there, but I won't.
Yeah, don't.
And how you survived.
don't. It's a miracle, really. it's funny as well because even though none of my family have got any links to Wiltshire in terms of where they were born and everything, but I do know that during the Second World War, my grandfather was moved. He worked for the civil service. He was an engineer. And the MOD moved him to Wiltshire during World War II. So he was moved down to Chippenham, and he was working on Spitfire engines. So he travelled around the airfield servicing the Spitfire engines. And I know exactly which house he lived in Chippenham. I know the street because my mum's got the address. They were thinking about settling in Wiltshire after the war because he stayed on. He was travelling down and staying here during the week. And I think they planned on moving the whole family, but it didn't happen. Here we are 70 odd years later, or even more years than that, and we finally got some coys in Wiltshire.
So with a twist of fate, you could actually have been born in Wiltshire.
I could have been a Wiltshire, a Moonraker.
I was trying to think what they were called.
So it's funny how the world turns around like that.
I was just going to mention I put this on the Facebook group for people who don't follow that. I did a walk last week with Stu. We went up to a place called Inglesham Church. So we did a right up in the northeast of Wiltshire, and it's like somebody's put their finger on a map of sort of the northeast of Wiltshire, so a finger over Gloucestershire and Oxfordshire, and drawn a line around their finger, and that finger is that bit of Wiltshire that projects into Gloucestershire and Oxfordshire, so it's right up in the northeast. And so we actually started in I forgot the name of the place, Lechlade on Thames, which is in Gloucestershire, and it was a bit of a funny walk. So we actually took in three counties. So if you go on the website, you'll see a blog, a post about it, and I just went mad with the camera. But Inglesham Church, which was really our goal for the day, is definitely Wiltshire, and it's just the most incredible church. It's unbelievable, and it's definitely worth a visit. And as I said in the blog, when I opened the door, I just sort of was stopped in my tracks. Stu was behind me because we had a bit of a problem opening the door, and I just looked through the door and just went, wow. And I just stood there staring at the interior of this church. But go to the website and have a look. It's beautiful. But yeah, it was a interesting walk. It's not my cup of tea. It was all very flat. A lot of it was along the Thames path, which is very pretty, but it's all a bit chocolate boxy for me, much for hills and bleak, that sort of place. But it was a really interesting day.
Yeah, right on the edge of Wiltshire as well, far edge, and there's a lot of places like that we don't tend to get to very often. It makes you realise how big Wiltshire is.
Yeah, and I suppose where you and I live, we are reasonably central, so to get to these places, it's like going down to Verndich Chase, and we're on the borders with Hampshire and Dorset.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you couldn't be, when you think where Verndich Chase is in relation to Inglesham, that's quite a long way.
This is probably at least an hour and a half's drive.
Oh, and the rest. Yeah. It took us, Stu and I live next door to each other in Shrewton, and took us an hour and a quarter to get up to Lechlade.
So what else have you been up to?
This is not really off stream for anything else. I also managed to squeeze in a walk over in the Badlands of West Sussex.
Mm.
So I met up with one of my oldest mates. Went to school with him, Keith, and his wife Anne. We went and did a walk, parked up in at Cowdery Park, and did a walk in the hills up there. And that was a day a bit like today, really bright sunshine, really cold, but another beautiful part of the country. But the best bit was we stopped for lunch in a brewery. So
It's funny because I did a walk recently where I started it in Somerset. We went to Farley Hungerford Castle.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And we did a walk from there over towards Iford Manor. Across the fields, and then did this sort of loop around. But Iford's in Wiltshire, just literally the border is on the road outside the manor.
Yeah.
So you cross the road and you're in Somerset.
Yeah.
But it was really nice because we discovered that they've built a sort of new cafe building at Iford Manor, which is open all year round. So we managed to go in there and have some lunch. It was really nice.
And is that, I've driven past that sign for that place many a time, and I've never known whether it's Iford or Iford, but it's Iford, is it?
I always call it Iford, but I'm not quite sure actually. Maybe someone can correct us if we're wrong, but I've always called it Iford.
I don't know where I got Iford from. I just assumed that.
But it's got a delightful garden, which is open in the summer months, which is just stunning, and they have theatres, outdoor theatre in the evenings and stuff. It's a fantastic location, really worth visiting.
I used to ride out that way quite a lot from the bike club in from Westbury.
Yeah,
we used to end up sort of that way.
But some of the roads there are terrible. They're not designed for cars. Those really narrow ones that have got no passing places.
That's why it was, for us, cycling, it was a lot safer because hardly any cars use those lanes. If something comes along, you just pull over and let them pass. Carry on.
Anyway, I think we've waffled on enough now. We'd better get on to this week's major topic.
Yes.
Yeah. So Codford Down, actually this one's a bit more than Codford Down, it's that whole sort of area, isn't it?
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what to call this one, to be honest. This was sort of...
It's the Codford area, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And Chittern.
It's a walk that I did in May last year, May 2020.
Yeah.
So on the website, it's actually called In Pursuit of Kites, which...
Yeah, and I remember being quite taken with your photos on this, because some of the colours were really interesting.
Yeah.
And I know that you... I remember at the time you were saying you really struggled with the colours on those photos, because there was so much green and yellows.
Green and yellow and blue, yeah.
But actually, I did that walk myself a couple of months later. I did it in July, and it's actually turned out to be one of my favourites for some reason.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it's just the variety in the walk and the interest and the photography.
Well, I could just as easily have called it, I mean, you know, for the purpose of this podcast, I think we've called it Codford Down and Chittern Brook, but it could be East Codford Down, it could be Claypit Hill, you know, on any... Codford Circle, any number of things, but it's funny enough, when you suggested that we do this one, I was thinking, oh god, you know what I'm gonna say about that walk, because it was, you know, 18 months ago, and I was thinking, well, you know, there's not a massive amount of historic interest, but when I went back and reread it and started to sort of look deeper into some of the places up there, there's an enormous amount going on. So we might struggle with time today, but
we'll see how we do. Yeah. But of course it all starts on that road from Chittern to Shrewton, doesn't it? There's a lay-by on the corner there.
Yeah. Well, if you're going from if you're coming from Chittern, you go up the B390 towards Shrewton. You go up that steep hill, and then there's quite a sharp left-hand bend. And on the outside of the bend, on the apex of the bend, there's a little lay-by, and that's where I parked up. And on the inside of the bend, there's a sort of water tank thing, sort of opposite the water tank. Actually, I drove up there a couple of days ago, and because I've never had a problem parking in that lay-by, and it was full. There was about three cars, and I think Wessex Water were doing something at the water tank, so there are a few vans up there. So if you'd have gone up the other day, you wouldn't have been able to park. Not there anyway. You can go.
Yeah,
down.
I know. When I parked there, I was the only car.
Yeah.
But that road is something else.
But in fact, so when I did it, I had my son's little car, which is sort of bright red, and I just spent all day walking. When I came back, it was dark, and I remember sort of coming across the fields. And sort of looking across, and I could just about make out sort of my son's car, and it did look very lonely sitting up there. But and now I know what I know about where I was walking, I could have been quite spooked. But that road is something else. It's just a renowned racetrack. You know, it's almost, when you come around that bend heading towards Shrewton, I mean, it's almost plumb straight for about 2 miles.
Yeah, you get the motorbikes,
oh,
really.
God, the speeds they do. I mean, you know, well over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And not surprisingly, there are little memorials to people who decided that going fast was more important than staying alive.
Yeah.
It's a dreadful road.
Yeah. But you get one thing I noticed, first thing I noticed when I got out of the car there and started the walk, is the line of sight you get over towards that airfield.
Yeah, to Deptford Down.
Deptford Down, when I was there was a lot of activity. There were helicopters, small planes. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's over towards your neck of the woods, isn't it, Deptford Down?
Well, no, really, where you're looking at, it's if you could see a bit further, you'd see Yarnby Castle by the A303.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you're west of where I am.
Yeah, so that track that you walk on there, that leads all the way to Yarnby, doesn't it?
That's the one, yeah. That old... Ridgeway, or you know, that trackway, which is the one from Old Sarum to Warminster, or I can never ever remember where that goes.
We need Mr. Dewey on, don't we?
I've talked about it two or three times of late in these podcasts, and I still can't remember. So you've got once you get out your car, and if you look to the south, along the byway that leads across the plains to that lay-by, and that's where you're going. You're going to sort of strike south along that byway. And that is, I even wrote it down. I'm sure it's the old Sarum road that goes, I'm sure it goes to Warminster. Where's my note? I wrote it down, for God's sake. As you sort of, you come down just a gentle dip, and then at the bottom of the dip, where it bottoms out before it goes up again towards Deptford Down, there's a sort of, it's a bridleway that comes in, that crosses it, so it's like a crossroads.
Yes.
And the bridleway from your left heading right goes from Maddington, which is Shrewton now, and that goes all the way to Codford, basically. So that's, so you literally turn right along that trackway that's come up from Maddington.
And it's funny, because that bridleway goes right through the middle of a field of crops.
Yes.
And the one thing I was impressed with on this walk is that most of the fields that had these tracks and footpaths and bridleways through them, there were really good paths through the middle of the field. The farmer has not done the trick that many others do, which is just to ignore the rights of way and plant over them.
No, you're absolutely right. He normally makes a point of leaving that clear. And there's another one. I think it's the same farmer.
Yeah.
Down the hill towards Chitton, and there's a sort of byway that strikes off across the fields there. And again, you know, it's kept nice and clear. So no, where I perhaps will have a bit of a grump about him is the. As you sort of turn right now at that crossroads, so you're turning off the old trackway. I'm trying to multitask here because you can see me looking on my phone. I'm trying to find my original post because I do talk about that ancient ridgeway because it's now bothering me as to which one it is. But as you sort of start to head across that field where there's normally, you know, it's kept clear, there used to be, and I've got a picture of it, when I posted the walk, there used to be three or four just sort of hawthorns, blackthorns, right alongside what, you know, almost like marking the way.
Yeah.
And so they were quite good markers for the, you know, directional beacons for the walk.
Mm.
And I noticed the other day when I drove over towards, I was going to Warminster, I think, and he's ploughed them up. The trees are gone. So.
Oh dear.
And presumably to make it easier to plough, and it's just it's a bit of a prairie now. It's this great big sort of, you know, huge field, and what little there was to break it up, those trees have gone. In fact, if you go to the blog, which I've just found, it's dated the 21st of May 2020, and the sort of thumbnail picture is of one of those trees.
Yeah.
So if you go there now, it's gone. You won't see it, so, which is such a shame. And I did update that blog a couple of days ago. I put in yesterday actually. So I put in a route map now, and I did update the blog with a bit more sort of detail about the sort of the history of the area and some of the things that I'd found. I've been waffling and I've been killing time to find the part in my blog about the tracks. So the ancient trackways I was looking for, there's the, as I've said, the Maddington, I've written Maddington to Codford, that's right, I think that's what I said, but the other one I've written here, Salisbury to Warminster, but I think it was actually Old Sarum to Warminster.
Yeah,
that's the one that comes up through the alongside Yarnby Castle, Deptford Down, and that's the one we have talked about quite a few times. And that's the one that's got old sort of, you know, it's an old coaching road. You know, there are milestones along it, which are, some of them still there. So anyway, having passed the non-existent hawthorns, heading up to lovely sort of beech copse at the top of the hill, and from there, I'm not going to go through every sort of twist and turn, but you kind of you keep sort of heading what direction would it be, sort of west, northwest, and you're heading towards, on the map, something called Clay Pit Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, I'm going to wind back. I'm going to wind back. No, I'm not. I'm going to do this at the end. The suspense. Just remind me to talk about Aurum's grave. So we're going to build the suspense to Aurum's grave.
Okay.
Which we'll do at the end. But don't let me forget. So you're heading up towards Claypit Hill. And that sort of sits on a ridge line that looks down. If you could see it, if it were for the trees, you look down into sort of Chittan. And then the other way, you look down into the valley from Chittan to Codford. And when I first wrote the blog, I didn't look at the origins of the name. Why is it called Claypit Hill? And it's probably fairly obvious. I mean, there was a clay pit there. And I think it's there's now a clump of trees up there. It's actually called Claypit Hill Clump. It's a bit bigger than a clump. It's more sort of wood. And they used to dig clay there in the 17th century. And apparently they used to cart it to Amesbury, where they would make clay tobacco pipes. So, yeah, by horse and cart, that's quite a distance. Over, you know, just dirt tracks.
Yeah,
so that would have taken all day.
Yeah, when you're up there, it does kind of, you do feel a bit remote, actually.
It is. Yeah, it's and it's still, yeah. So even now, it does feel remote. I mean, by the time you get to, the beach clump that I mentioned earlier on, before you get to Claypit Hill, you're not that far from that racetrack, the B390, but you can't hear it.
No.
And it's just so peaceful out there, very, very quiet. Just by that Claypit Hill clump, you want to turn left and head south, and it's basically it's a metalled road there, so you're going to walk along this road, and eventually you get to, after about, I don't know, 3/4 mile, something like that, you get to a biomass plant, and
it's a power station.
Yes, it's well, yes, you've got a huge solar farm there.
Yeah.
And right next to the solar farm is the biomass plant, and it's a bit stinky. The smell up there as you walk past the farm, and you walk right past the farm entrance. And
yeah, and it's funny as well, because it's almost like you don't really expect to find such level of industrialization up in the middle of nowhere up there. Yeah. And I don't know, but the people who work at the power station are very protective of their location and don't like people going near it.
But there's so many trucks go up and down there.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to keep it a secret.
I know. But it's funny though, when I was walking along there, this pickup truck came flying out and then went down the road, and he must have looked in his mirror and seen me walking along the road outside the power plant. And he sort of stopped and stared at me, and he was watching me walk down, and then he saw me veer right down to the right of way that ducks below Codford Circle. And once he knew I was just a walker, he was off, but obviously he was going to give me a bit of a rollicking if I stayed on that road, because it's not a public footpath.
Yeah, so, I talk about this in the blog. The guy who owns that farm up there is very protective of his privacy.
Well, the signs that are up around
private
the farm
signs
and the track,
everywhere, so
they don't even want dog walkers walking on the roads or anything.
Well, the road is, you're perfectly entitled to it, it's a right of way, but as you said, just after the biomass plant, the right of way does veer off to the right, sort of diagonally right across the fields, and that is the old Maddington to Codford track, but the metalled road just carries on straight, and that's where you're into being a very private territory. But the first time I went up there, the signs, there were either none or very few private signs, because I wasn't really looking at my map, and I just carried on down the road. And in fact, I was heading for Codford Circle, which is further down that road.
Yeah.
And not knowing that, how sensitive he is about people going to Codford Circle. So Codford Circle there seems to be a bit of doubt when it was built, sort of Bronze Age, early Iron Age. It's a big enclosure. It's a sort of single bank and ditch enclosure. You know, too big, and the ditch is probably too shallow to be defensive. So I guess that would mean, you know, animal enclosure.
Yeah.
But it's a big old area. So when I went up, there were no private signs, and I just sort of, you know, casually walked over to the circle. I thought I'd go and have a look, and it was on this, you know, this day. Actually, no, it was before. No, it was another time I went up there before I did this walk. So probably a couple of years before, and it was a boiling hot day. And I just remember sort of mooching around the circle, walking along the earth banks, and I saw the odd truck go along that road that we were talking about, and, you know, nobody gave me a second look. So I just assumed it was all okay. I remember sitting down in the middle of the circle and a cup of coffee, and it's just incredibly peaceful up there. And then from there, I sort of decided to head across to the towards the bridleway that drops down to Codford, the trackway that I was talking about. And so I came out of the circle across to what was a field of oilseed rape. And just as I got to the edge of the field, I was just standing there taking some pictures. And there's this great sort of, you know, almost explosion from the rape, and three great bustards took off right in front of me. I mean, probably 15 feet away, and they just went like Harrier, like a jump jet, just vertical, straight up in the air. And it was at that point I suddenly found out that they've got legs like pistons, and they could just, because they're such big birds, and they project them sort of straight up in the air, and then those bloody great wings get going, and they're such graceful flyers, and they just flew away. And I had a camera, only had a 28mm lens, which is quite short, sort of wide angle, which I'd just put away as well. So I was just standing there going, wow, 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 to myself, you know, shouting out this sight. It's the first time I'd seen a bustard. And I got my phone out and snapped a few pictures on the phone, which, you know, I've still got them somewhere. You can sort of zoom in and you can very clearly see what they are. But to be so close, and, I almost had a heart attack. Anyway, you can't do it these days. You can't go into that circle. And I wouldn't, because if you're caught in there, you know, there'll be a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I remember, you know, there's that guy on Instagram who does drone photos. David Abram.
David Abram, yeah.
He went there. I remember him posting about this. Yeah. And he got his drone up to take some drone pictures of the circle. And he got accosted by the landowner who arrived in... started, I think they were quite polite about it, but they basically said, you know, you're not allowed to do that here, mate.
I think they've had it is a big place for people who believe in ley lines and energy and all that sort of stuff, and they have had a few people of that ilk up there, and I think they were possibly just getting a bit fed up with it, because if you Google it, I mean, there are YouTube videos about it, and these very strange people wandering around and feeding the force and all the rest of it. So I, you know, but to be honest, you know,
not a lot to see.
It wasn't worth it. It was just a nice peaceful place. Well, there's lots of nice peaceful places up there. You don't need to go trespassing on the circle. Although I, you know, it's a hobby horse of mine. You know, why are places like this private? Yeah. You know, these are part of our heritage and our history. And, you know, he's not growing anything up there. He's not doing anything with it. It's just, you know, just an empty field.
Get off my land.
Yeah, it's private because it is.
Yeah, it's mine.
Because somebody enclosed it centuries ago and threw off all the locals. So nowadays you have to stick to that bridleway, which, again, you know, has its own history. You know, it does. So you're literally passing to the west of Codford Circle. You're quite close to it, but you can't see it because it is so unassuming. So there's nothing to see. So this track gradually sort of descends, and to your right you'll really do have great great views down into the valley, down to Chitton Brook, in fact. But you've got that, I think it's, is it Auckland Farm? I'm just,
Yeah, Auckland Farm.
Yeah.
It does open, the views really open up there into that valley, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it's, you know, on a warm day, I mean, it's a great place. I've done it many times, just to sit up there with a coffee and sit in the grass and look at the views. And that really explains the name of the blog, In Pursuit of Kites, because there's so many red kites just cruise along that escarpment, you know, catching the thermals. And,
well, it's very true. You know, I mean, it was funny because once you start walking down the hill, you eventually, the path takes you through, it's like this, it's like a tiny path with trees on either side.
It's like a holloway.
Holloway.
I think an ancient holloway.
It is, and it's fabulous, actually. But I remember when I stepped into that holloway and started walking down, I suddenly got dive-bombed by a red kite that was, it just came down into the path and was literally floating at about 5 feet and just coming towards me. And I was quite shocked at the size of the damn thing. It was like, my God.
They are big, aren't they?
They're huge, yeah.
But as you, I was going to add, just about Cod Circle, the number of different names it has.
Wilsbury Ring.
Yeah, Wilsbury Ring, Woldsbury, W-O-L-D-S-B-R-Y.
That sounds Saxon, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Oldbury Camp. So it's got about four different names. Only two of which are on this map I'm looking at. But as you come down that holloway, to your right, there's something called Punch Bowl Bottom, which you look down into. And it's quite a small bottom, quite a small pert bottom. And
we'll be getting complaints again.
No, not another one. And I thought I'll Google that and see if anything comes up. You know, is anything? Why has it got a name even? Because there's plenty of bottoms around there that have names. And I Googled it, and the only thing that came up was that they found an old World War II pineapple grenade in the in the bottom. They had a hand grenade at the bottom, and
I suppose a hand grenade out the bottom.
God, where's my gin? And anyway, this was in 2010, I think, and the farmer, they obviously called out the MOD, and they blew this thing up in the bottom, and it was a hell of an explosion. I mean, you don't want an explosion like that in your bottom, do you? But, so that's all there is to know about Punch Bowl Bottom.
I think if you're a long-term listener to this, I think we've just had the bottom of all bottoms there.
But anyway, you get to the end of, on Easter, to the bottom of the holloway, you get to the end of the holloway, and it spills you out just outside Codford. And it's Codford St. Peter, because there are two Codfords, Codford St. Peter and Codford St. Mary, after the churches. And you sort of, you spill out next to this next to that road. And it's the road that comes down from Chittam. And so you're right next to East Codford Farm. Now, East Codford Farm has apparently a wonderful farm shop. And it's, I think it's owned and run by the guy who owns the land in which Codford Circle sits. And to this day, I've never found out how you get into that farm shop. I'm told it's great, but I've no idea how you get in.
I'm not sure they have any customers, because all the road signs
say,
piss off.
Well, private, yeah. Whereas the road that you used to be able to go up there says private. So perhaps it's just a hobby. You don't want to send anything.
I'll tell you what, if they listen to this, they're going to be writing us letters of complaint, I can tell you.
Yeah, we're going to get so many complaints.
I know.
I'm sure they do welcome customers, but just let us know how you get in, because I'd love to go. The other thing worth seeing there, if you want to sort of take a bit of a diversion, is at Codford, you know, the church there, that one has got quite a big Commonwealth War Graves cemetery there. So
yes,
there's
it does,
a lot of Commonwealth stones, and that's always very poignant, just to wander around there and look at some of those gravestones. Back to the days when, you know, in the First World War, when there were sort of mobilisation camps and field hospitals all around there. And again, you go back and you see some of the gravestones which have 1919 as the Spanish flu. But so anyway, you get to the end of that holloway, and what, you know, unless you want to go off into Codford and have a mooch around, you're going to turn right. Now, what I did was, because it was just after lockdown, and people was, you know, travel was still restricted. So I thought, well, I'll walk up the Chitten Road and I'll go up past the Lion Seafood cold store up to Auckland Farm, and then there's a road that crosses the valley, crosses Chitten Brook over towards Manor Farm. So I thought, I'll do that, walk along the road, because it will save a longer diversion. And so I got up to this road to turn left at Auckland Farm, and of course, big private sign, private road. So I thought, oh, bugger it, I'm not walking all the way back to Codford, and I thought, I'm just going to go up the road. And I did, and there was a guy on a tractor, and he didn't pay me any attention at all. But if you don't want to walk up that private road, what you would do instead is, having got to the end of the Holloway and having turned right up the Chitten Road, you then turn first left on what is called New Road on the map. And then after about three quarters of a mile or half a mile, you get to a sharp left-hand bend in the road. And on the outside of the bend on your right is a metalled road, but it's also, I think it's a bridle way, but it's a right of way along that road.
Yeah, that's the way I walked.
Yeah. And in fact, it's a nicer way. It is the better way to go.
Yeah, it takes you right through the Manor Farm.
Yeah, that's it.
Buildings.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a nice road that, and some sort of, so you're really sort of right in the bottom of the valley there. And so up to your left, you're looking up, if you could see it, you'd be over to some pretty ancient trackways over to your left, to the west. But you're basically heading north and then northeast in the direction of Chitten. And sort of the next point of note, and you've got to your right, you've got the Water Meadows and Chitten Brook, which I don't know why I put it in the title, because there's nothing very notable about the Chitten Brook other than it being
but it's
very pretty.
It is pretty, but it's interesting, because when I did the walk in July, it was dry.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's a winterborne.
It's another winterborne.
And I remember putting some photos on the internet. I think it was on the Facebook page, and someone who lives in that valley sent a message saying, oh, I live there. I get a view of the brook outside my house.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he must live in one of those houses along Chitten Road after the cold store on the right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's after Auckland Farm, there's a row of houses. So he lives in there.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that, you know, it's pretty much wet the most of the year, but it's July and August that tends to dry up.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy who, another volunteer up at Parsonage Down, his family farm up there. In fact, I think they're, it might have been there. They might own Punchbowl Bottom, because I'm looking at the buildings there, and I think that's where they live. So right by the brook there, but it is lovely. But Chitten Brook, it's not, you know, it sort of rises north of Chitten on the road from Chitten over the hill to Tilshead. The brook just sort of rises along that road, and then it empties into the River Wylie at Codford, I think. Yeah, looking at the map here, looks like it just tips into the Wylie at Codford. So it's not a very long stream. But anyways, you're sort of walking along there. You eventually will come to sort of junction of rights of way, and there's one that sort of, if you look down to your right, you'll see a little footbridge that goes over the brook. But it's worth just sort of stopping there, and up to your left and sort of half left, you're looking up to sort of Codford Down, and there's a lot of history around there. I mean, you can see a little bit of it. You can see it more from the road between Chitten and Nook. There's an old Celtic field system there. And, you know, if you put your drone up there, you know, you'll get great views of that. And that's a big field system. But in front of you, and there's a photograph with the walk on the website, you can see a tumulus. You just about make it out, and it's in the photograph. And to the right of it, there is this water pump. Which I said in the blog, it's almost like something out of the Midwest of America.
Yeah.
But that tumulus, I mean, on the map it's marked as tumuli, and all I could see there, and you can walk closer, I mean, you can sort of carry on up that right of way. So instead of going right across that footbridge over the Chitton Brook, you can carry on up towards Chitton and eventually join the Chitton Road. So you can get a bit closer to that, or very close to that water pump. In fact, I've walked right up to it. But all you can see of the tumuli, all I could see was one. But there used to be, there were 10, what have I got here, 10 bowl. It was called, yes, it's all the remains of Aston Valley Barrow Cemetery. So 10 bell barrows, yeah, and one bowl barrow.
Yeah.
And, you know, all you've got is that one sort of Bronze Age bowl barrow that I think is visible. There may be others, but I didn't go right up to it. But that's all that's left. And our friend Cunnington, who we always end up talking about in the sort of early 19th century, he excavated those barrows. And the finds, there are some finds in Wiltshire Museum. So you've got sort of Bronze Age, but also Saxon finds. So if you go up to Wiltshire Museum and Devizes, yeah, they can, I'm sure they'll dig those out for you. They'll be buried away somewhere. Yeah, so real sort of sense of history there. Standing by that and looking across the footbridge over Chitton Brook, that's where I headed. And I sort of went across there. And I sort of sat on the little bridge having a coffee and taking some photographs. In fact, there's a couple from there in the book, isn't there?
We've got
those in the book. In fact, I had a picture of that tumulus and the water pump in the book, but for some reason the printed reproduction was terrible, so we took that out, didn't we? But
yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of others there. And then you sort of you come up, go uphill very slightly, you cross the Codford Road, the Chitton to Codford Road, and you're going to go across the field in the other side of the road in front of you. I seem to remember turning left and then right, but the map looks like it just goes straight across. But you're going to head sort of basically across that field up,
yeah,
back towards Clay Pit Hill. Now that field, when I went there, it was a herd of young bullocks in there, and they were right across the field. And I climbed over the stile to get in the field because of the right way goes across it, and they came hurtling across towards me.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've said before, working at Parsonage Down and, you know, in amongst the long haul all the time, so I'm reasonably comfortable being a field full of cows and bulls. But these were, you know, they were young, they were inquisitive, they were playful, and I thought, I really don't want to be standing in the middle of this field with that lot coming at me. So I sort of hopped back over the stile, and I continued walking up the road, which does go up to that biomass plant. So,
and has private signs on it.
Yeah, but I did walk up there, and, you know, somebody, again, tractor driver, came past, yeah, me, gave me a cheery wave. I think maybe he could see the bullocks in there, but yeah, he just completely ignored, yeah, me.
But I think you're right, because I remember when I hit the road there, I did have to go left along the road and then right.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean, whereas the map seems to show the path going across, yeah, but so I climbed into the field, and there were no bullocks when I was there, so I just went straight up.
I obviously, yeah, get moved around. I just, yeah, was unlucky that day. But if you walk up that road, there are little stiles over the fence further along. So I think, yeah, they just kind of expect that, you know, if the bullocks are in there, that you're not going to get in with them. You go a bit further. You still end up in the same field, but it's a, yeah, very steep slope, and you can sort,
yeah,
of go up that, yeah, slope, and they can't see you, and they probably can't get to you anyway because it's too steep for them.
Yeah.
But basically, you just follow that bridle way, which takes you up to that Clay Pit Hill clump. Yep. And then from there, you pretty much just retrace your steps. You go past the summit of Clay Pit Hill, which is, there's a trig point there. And then you get back to the beech clump. Again, you know, having a look at the views, because you're obviously going the opposite direction, so you're getting a different perspective. Get sort of good views back across Deptford Down and Yarnbury. You know, the views are just massive up there. It's 178 metres, that trig point, yeah, so you're quite high. So then you're sort of striking back past where the hawthorn trees were. And as I say, when I did the walk, it was very murky, if not dark. And I got back to that sort of crossroads that I described before. So you've got coming in from your right, the old trackway that eventually goes to Old Sarum. And there, that point is called Aurum's Grave. And I sort of, it was only afterwards, after I did the walk, and I started to dig around for what that was. And it turns out to be the burial place of somebody who, you know, everybody assumes he was called Aurum. There's all sorts of theories, but somebody called James Aurum is recorded of having hung himself in Chitton on the 25th of July 1768. And as we said before, being a suicide, they buried them on parish boundaries, and apparently they did this in order to confuse the spirits of the dead. So when he sort of rises from the grave, then, you know, he would be confused and he wouldn't go back to Chitton, he wouldn't know where to go. So this is on the boundaries of Codford and Chitton. So he was buried up there. But and I'm going to read something out, which actually Alice Canby, I was sitting up early on, she sent me, sort of rustling her papers, so I try and find it. She sent me some information about it. And apparently, and it seems to be some years later, I don't know whether they disinterred him or whatever, but they later on, a few years later, a stake was driven through his heart, which apparently they did that to, you know, for suicides, to stop them rising from the dead.
Yeah, that's we heard similar stories about Kit's grave, didn't we?
That's right.
Chase. Yeah.
Yeah. So James Aurum apparently is buried there. But so this piece that Alice sent me is from she quotes it from Wiltshire Notes and Queries. I'm not quite sure what that is, but it's in quotation marks. But it says, at the intersection of the old track from Salisbury to Warminster across the Downs, with that from Maddington to Codford St Mary, on the boundary line of Maddington and Chitton St Mary, is a barrow marked Aurum's Grave on the Ordnance 6-inch map. The bishop, on his visit to us, whoever wrote this, in its brackets 23rd of March 1893, pointed out this name to me, which I was previously ignorant, and suggested it was the corruption of some British or Saxon name, which I doubted. Afterwards, on looking at the map, it occurred to me that as the grave was situated at the crossroads, Aurum was probably the name of a suicide buried there according to the old custom and law. A conversation with widow Sarah Cook, aged 81, on 28th of March 1893, proved that this was the case. She told me that in 1849 she and her husband were living in one of the, get this, Maddington Manor Down Barn cottages. Now, you remember that Down Barn Cottage is a place that I've been to a few times, yes, and written about. Paul Clifton did that little video on the BBC, yep, which we put on the Facebook. So she and her husband were living in one of the Maddington Manor Down Barn Cottages. And in the other lived the shepherd, James White, and his wife Elizabeth, a very good woman, aged 61, both of Chitton. So that's where they obviously came from. Elizabeth White told Sarah Cook that when she was a child, she was coming home with her father from Salisbury, and when they were near the crossways by the clump, they saw many people coming from Chitton to bury Aurum in the barrow there, for he had hung himself with his own rope and was to be buried there. Her father told her that, I'll try and pronounce this, her mont be Frawton, so I think it's, you mustn't be frightened by what she saw, for they wouldn't hurt she. And so she saw Aurum buried. She did not tell Sarah Cook whether his body was in a coffin or not, but Sarah Cook thinks there was a coffin. Certainly there was no parson and no service. The barrow was ever afterwards been called Aurum's Grave, and the name is now perpetuated in the Ordnance Survey, 8th May 1893. And the vicar, local vicar, apparently said the circumstances of Aurum's burial forgotten in Chitton, except the cause of his suicide was disappointment in love. Let that be a lesson to you. And that a stake was driven through the body, which I think proves that though he may have been carried to the grave in a coffin, he was not buried in one. There is no record of the funeral in the register, nor any charge for it in the parish accounts, which of course was another reason to bury suicides on the boundary. So you know, I don't know who paid, but there was always an argument about which parish would pay the burial costs. So there you go. Disappointed in love.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, such a shame.
Yeah.
But Oram's grave, it's not marked on the Ordnance Survey anymore, is it?
No, no, it's just on the old, some old maps, if you go back to some of the old maps. But yeah, it's not on the 1 to 25,000 or the 1 to 50, which is why I didn't know it was there until after the event.
Yeah.
Because at that point, it was pretty dark when I got there. And had I known, it would have scared the bejesus out of me. Yeah.
You would have seen somebody rising from the dead with a stake through his heart.
Yes. Yeah. So yeah, that was it. That was
fantastic.
It is a lovely walk. I mean, it's sort of 11.6 kilometres, 7.2 miles. And you can do all sorts of variations. I mean, Stu and I have done variations of that walk. We went up to, rustling papers again, to something called Upton Great Barrow, which is sort of further over to the west.
Yeah.
Which is another big bell barrow, another Cunnington excavation.
Yes. Yeah.
And there's all sorts of interesting finds found up. So that's, and then Nook Castle, obviously, is not far from there.
Well, I know when I did the Great Ridge Walk, as I was walking back from Corton, you go up the hill there along the Wessex Ridgeway, and you get a fantastic view of the panorama that stretches from Heytesbury all the way over, you know, to the other side of Codford.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to my son, and I was saying, yeah, I've done a walk up there on that section, then the next section along is this walk. And I realised that I'd walked across all of that area on different walks in different, parts of the...
Yeah.
The landscape, so
there's loads exploring. Of right away up there. Yeah. You just walk forever up there. Yeah. One thing that is just worth mentioning is, you know, I like pubs, the King's Head in Chittan, which would have been a great way to sort of take the pub in into the walk, but it's been closed for some years now. But another guy who I work with up at the reserve, they've basically it was declared a community asset. And the village have put in a bid to buy the pub, and my mate Peter, who works at Parsonage Down, he's done all the finances behind it, all the financial plans. So apparently they've got a bid in, which they're waiting to hear whether they've been successful. And they intend to reopen it as a sort of community pub shop, you know, all the rest of it. I mean, the plans they've got are brilliant. It was a nice pub. It always was a lovely pub. So it's such a shame to lose that one.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so we better wrap up as we've rambled
gone,
on this.
Gone week, on a bit, yeah. Sort of usual. Thanks again to Steve Dixon. Lovely to see him the other day. I had a coffee with Steve. So thanks, Steve, for the music. The one in the middle, we'd used it before. It's called Bee Leaf. A little play on words there, but I like that one because it's got like a nice summery feel to it. And when I did it in May, if you remember, May last year was boiling hot, so just sort of made me think of that. The lower boots thing is still going. I forgot to give out the discount code last time, I think. So if you want a discount on lower walking boots and shoes, go to lower.co.uk and at checkout enter HW20. HW Hidden Wheelchair 20 for 20% discount. Website for show notes, links, and crucially to the online shop to get your copy of the book.
Yes, and there is a section in the book on this very topic we're talking about today.
There is, yeah. You'll see photographs of some of this.
Yeah, so you can open it up and have a look at the photos as we're describing the landscape.
But they're flying off the shelves, those books, so get your order in.
Yeah, they are. They are, actually, which is good.
And of course, we've got the book launch next week.
Yes,
On the 10th.
10th of December, we have a book launch at 7:30 p.m. at Wiltshire Museum. It's ticketed, but the tickets are free. Just go along to Wiltshire Museum website and click on the events section and you'll see it listed there. And it'd be great to see as many of you in person as possible. I know it's a busy time of year with Christmas and a little bit of a testy time of year with the continuing COVID situations, but we're ticketing it so we can limit the numbers and try and make it as safe as possible for all of us.
And I'm pretty certain they'll require masks in the museum.
Yes.
So.
Yes. They had a visitor there today.
They did, yeah. I saw that.
Camilla.
Yeah. Who?
You know, that lady that's married to the future King of England?
Oh, the one with the big hair.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
It's a shame she didn't come a few days later, because she could have bought a Hidden Wiltshire book from the museum shop.
Yeah, we'd have signed it for her, wouldn't we? Sure, she'd have loved that.
Yeah.
Why has somebody written my book?
Right, anyway, we'll be back in 2 weeks' time to close out the year. The next episode will be a bit of a Christmas special and a look back and a look forward and a bit of a celebration of the Hidden Wiltshire podcast, because we'll have made it to one whole year.
Yeah, fantastic.
See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Ta-da.